chapter 4, John hears a voice come up here and the church is caught up or raptured into heaven. Chapter 5, my favorite, a group that could only be in church, could only be the church in heaven worshiping Jesus at the very center of the throne. Those are my favorite. And then we're studying now the tribulation 7-year period. It's known as, we'll eventually talk about it. It's prophesied in the book of Daniel, a final 7-year period. And we're reading about the judgments that are going to take place on Christ rejecting planet Earth. Let's pull up Revelation 8, verse 1. And just as sure as you can look back now in history, and you can identify things in history, so the scriptures show us about what's coming in the future. Just as certain as history in the past, so scripture shows us what is prophetically coming. And this is the future for planet Earth. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. These are the seal judgments. We'll bring up a diagram in a minute. But the seal judgments, and this is the calm really before the coming storm, the storm of judgment. Judgment is coming to God rejecting, Christ rejecting mankind. And we're reading about that judgment. Verse 2, I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So let's pull up the diagram. As we're studying the book of Revelation, we first see the seven seal judgments. As the seventh seal judgment opens up, we're now reading that the seven trumpet judgments begin. When we see the seventh trumpet judgment, that's going to be the beginning of the most severe of all the judgments, the bowl judgments. And those that are familiar with the book of Revelation, you're like, yeah, I know these chapters, the seal judgments. We've just finished the six seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments. Those that aren't familiar, you're going to learn about the trumpet judgments today. And so I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Verse 3, then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. So we've just finished a time that heaven has been loud. All of heaven is singing, salvation belongs to our God. To him belongs blessing and honor and glory and power. And now we come to this calm before the judgment begins. And heaven seems to pause here as prayer ascends to God, the prayers of the saints. And the testimony of scripture is God hears your prayers. God remembers your prayers. And God is a God who responds to prayer. And this is probably the prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? The church has been praying that generation after generation. Daniel prophesied of the day that that stone, not cut with human hands, Jesus Christ the rock, would strike the kingdoms of this world and they would be obliterated, and that stone would grow into a mountain that fills the whole earth. And of course, that's a picture of Jesus coming again and his kingdom coming and his will coming to the earth as it is in heaven. And what's coming, as we study the book of Revelation, is a judicial response. We saw in chapter 6, the martyrs of all the ages that were martyred for the word of God, they're crying out, they're saying, God, you're holy and true. How long? How long until you justly deal with disobedient, rebellious, dark mankind? And so what the book of Revelation reveals is a judicial response. God's a just judge. And being just, he must mete out punishment where punishment is due. And this is really the foundation for the cross. By the way, don't you love that song, All Sufficient Merit? Can we sing that every week till Easter? I mean, what an incredible song. If you didn't know the gospel, you just sang it this morning because Jesus finished the work. And the cross is all about the love of God and the just judgment of God really crossing, right? Because God's a just judge. In order to remain just, he must mete out punishment. If he doesn't mete out punishment, he's no longer just. But he's also a loving God. He loves you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take the judgment you deserve. At the heart of the New Testament book of Romans, there's that verse that says that God is just and the justifier of the one who puts his faith in Jesus Christ. That is, justified means that when the sinner trusts Christ, God's righteousness, Christ's righteousness, is put in your account and you become legally righteous. God's wrath satisfied because of what Christ took at the cross. God's judgment satisfied, his just judgment, because of what Christ did for you at the cross. And so we read of this pause in the heavens, all of the prayers ascending to God. And then we read verse 5, then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, threw it to the earth. More severe now than the seal judgments come the trumpet judgments. And there were noises. Things are about to change on planet Earth. There's thundering. The wrath of God is stirring. Lightning. Light is about to touch dark mankind. An earthquake. The earth is about to be moved. And verse 6, so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. There's nothing chaotic about what's going on. Even we might think of things apocalyptic as chaotic. This is the just judgment of God. And we read of that first trumpet, verse 7. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, talking about the judgment that's going to come to the earth. And they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up in this judgment. And we'll just let the word of God speak for itself as we go through two chapters. In verse 8, then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain, some type of meteor burning with fire, was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And anyone who knows the Bible, you're like, oh yeah, God judged Egypt and turned the Nile to blood. And in a similar way, God now is judging the whole world. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. And verse 10, the third angel sounded, and a great star of some sort, John sees, fell from heaven burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is wormwood, which means bitter. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made poisonous or bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars. And so a third of them were darkened, a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. In verse 13, I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. There's three judgments, three trumpet judgments still coming. And woe to those that aren't saved. Woe to those who weren't part of the church. We just came through one of the greatest revivals the earth is ever going to see in chapter 7. And how they turned to Christ and were saved and their robes were made white in the blood of the Lamb. But woe to those who are still on the earth and haven't responded to the gospel. Because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. So for the believer in Jesus Christ, this world is the worst it's ever going to get. The best is yet to come. For the unbeliever, this life is the best it's ever going to get. So enjoy, because the worst is yet to come for the unbeliever. And we'll read now those three final trumpets. Revelation chapter 9. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven. Now, we actually know who this fallen star, or this star is not a literal star. We know from the scriptures that this is a reference to Satan. Jesus talked about how he saw Satan fall like lightning. Now, we're going to talk about that next week. Next week, we'll look at a star fallen, or a fallen star. So we'll just take a little, we'll go through these two chapters, but we're going to take a little deeper look at what we're reading about here next week. But let's go back to Revelation 9:1. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Right? God is sovereignly in control. God is the one judging the world. God is allowing Satan at this point, we're going to read, to open what has up till this time been sealed. And verse 2, he opened this fallen star. Satan opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And so the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And so the earth is a dark place, and both dark spiritually and dark physically as the judgments of God come. And then we read verse 3, then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. Now, we're going to read, these are not literal locusts. These are, you're going to see it, they're demonic beings that come out of this pit that they were held in. Out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power. John would say, it's as the scorpions of the earth have power. Scorpions have this very painful and even deadly sting. And what we're reading about is incredibly dark. You know, as believers, we celebrate the marvelous light we live in. If you know the scriptures, we've been called out of darkness. Now we're his own special people, chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and we dwell in marvelous light. But for those on the earth who are choosing darkness, they're going to experience merciless darkness. And verse 4, these locusts, and we're going to just read more and more about this demonic army of locusts. They were commanded not to harm, because that's their nature. That's the demonic realm's nature, is to harm. And all through this world, we're not able to see the spiritual realm, but we see the incredible harm that the spiritual realm brings to mankind. Because they can't harm God, but they harm God by harming God's creation. And they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree. Now, this is really important to read this. But only those men who did not have the seal of God on their forehead. So if you haven't been with us studying, you're at a disadvantage. Because for several weeks, we've read now about how in the tribulation, a revival is going to start in the nation of Israel. and 144,000 are going to repent and turn to Christ, and they're the first of a national move of God in the nation of Israel coming to their Messiah. And these 144,000 have a mark on their forehead. They're sealed. They belong to Jesus Christ, and they're preaching the gospel around the world, which brings what we saw last week, a worldwide revival. And we just want to acknowledge what it says here, that these demonic beings were only allowed to harm those who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So let's just ask a really important question for those struggling with understanding the end times. What about the church? What about the bride of Christ? There are those that think the church is going through the tribulation. You just don't find that record in the book of Revelation. It would make no sense that God's saying, well, don't harm the new Jewish believers, but as far as my church, my bride, they're fair game because they have to learn to endure. It just doesn't make sense. And we've been seeing it from the get-go that we see the natural flow of the book of Revelation is the church age is going to end and a door is going to open in heaven, and a group that could only be the bride of Christ is caught up into heaven and is found there around the throne of God before the judgment begins. 1 week we took the whole week to talk about the whole judgment period is God pouring his wrath out. And we learned together that the cross, Jesus took the wrath in our place. That's why we don't believe that the church will be here during this time of judgment. And when we come to passages like this, where they were commanded, we'll look at it again, verse 4, they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. That only makes sense if the church isn't on the earth during this time. Verse 5, and they were not... By the way, there was one Sunday, I spent the whole Sunday giving all the reasons after 30 years why I don't believe the church will be here. If you didn't hear that, that would be an important study to go back and find. But verse 5, and they were not given authority to kill them. So this, the inhabitants of the earth, dark, we're going to read about how dark mankind is going to become. And this judgment, this authority, they were not given authority to kill the inhabitants of the earth, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion which strikes a man. It's not a scorpion, but something like that coming from these demonic beings. In those days, men will seek death. They'll try to commit suicide, but they'll not find it. They'll desire to die, and death will flee from them. So we read of that this, as a result of demonic presence upon the earth, there's just this new wave of desire for suicide. And all through the scriptures, we find that suicide is connected to the demonic realm, that's the demonic whisper. You should just end your life. You should just murder yourself. But as we read this, it's hard to read, but really it seems to be an act of God's mercy. Mercy, Rob. How so? He's giving people that are so hard time to still come to their senses and to turn to him. They want to just murder themselves, but God's forcing them to have time to get right with him. And verse 7, the shape of, again, they're not my favorite chapters. The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold. And their faces were kind of like the faces of men, very violent men. They had this type of long hair like woman's hair. And their teeth were like lion's teeth. This is all describing these demonic beings. They had some type of armor, breastplates, like breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings, some type of noise like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions. They had this demonic ability to inflict pain on mankind. Their stings were in their tails. Their power, this is always the demonic realm. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as king over them, so this will be our study next week, this fallen star they had who opened the bottomless pit. They had as king over them that angel of the bottomless pit whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has a name, Apollyon. Both describe this fallen angel, this king over the demonic realm. He's a destroyer. And we'll pick that up next week. Verse 12, one woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. And then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Evidently, when the angels rebelled against God, we're going to study that in the book of Revelation in a few chapters, some of them were so violent and so wicked that they were confined. And now we're reading about, in this time of judgment, even these four are released. And so the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released. Hard to read. They're so wicked. They're so evil. They're so violent that as soon as they're released, it results in a third of mankind dying. In verse 16, now the number of the army of the horsemen, this demonic army, was 200 million. And so just a demonic horde is what we're reading about. I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents, having this powerful sting, venom, having heads, and with them they, we read it again, they do harm. And then verse 20, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent. What we're reading about is just a dark, dark humanity. And God almost saying, if darkness is what you want, I'll give you darkness. And they still won't repent. When you do the math, and we'll pull up the slide as we've been studying the book of Revelation, from chapter 6 and 9, the fourth seal we read about in chapter 6, 25% die. That means 75% of the earth's population is still alive. When we come to the sixth trumpet, which we've studied this morning, a third of the 75% now die. So that's 50% of the inhabitants of the earth have just died in this judgment. And what's the state of mankind? You can bring it up again in verse 20. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent. Right? They would, they're hardened. Even after 5 months of not being able to take their life, they're hardened. It kind of reminds us of the story of Pharaoh. In the Old Testament, you read of Pharaoh, and it says he hardened his heart. And then it says he hardened his heart again. And then he hardened his heart again. And then he hardened his heart again. And finally, there came this place where it says, and God ratified Pharaoh's decision. In other words, Pharaoh, if you want a hard heart, then a hard heart you'll have. And that seems to be what's going on the earth, that hardening people that are so hard to God, people that hate God, people that hate light, they hate goodness, they hate everything God stands for. They're just becoming harder and harder. And we'll read all of verse 20. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which could neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders and their sorceries, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. So the first thing we read, they did not repent. The Greek word for repent speaks of having a change of mind. When a sinner repents, he has a change of mind. I don't want sin. Jesus, I choose you. When a sinner repents, he turns from practicing a lifestyle that's not pleasing to God to turning to the cross, turning to Jesus, turning to the provision, the cross, where Jesus died to pay for our sins. It's repentance is a change of direction, but these would not repent. They would not stop worshiping demons. And fallen, we just understand here that fallen man loves darkness and at times chooses the demonic over God. And that's what we're reading about here, is a world that is so hard to God and has chosen darkness, chosen death, chosen the demonic over God. And they won't repent of it. We've made our choice. And they're being hardened in that choice. That we read that they would not repent of their idols, worshiping things that are created rather than worshiping the Creator. And fallen man often chooses to live for created things rather than the Creator who created the created things. And these are being judged, but they won't turn. They won't have God. Their choice is being ratified. We're choosing the created rather than the Creator, and they would not repent of their murder. It's just an unveiling of our world, of a sign of the end times, that murder is going to get worse and worse, whether it's suicide. And we can go back a slide where it says murder, John 8:44. Jesus told us that it's Satan who's the murderer. Murder is a world that's in rebellion to God, under the control of the devil. That John 8:44 says he's the father of murders. In other words, murder has its origin with God, and it's a sign of the times that you can go back to the other slide. Suicide. There's just going to be an increase of that influence in the last days of people murdering themselves. Infanticide, babies being murdered, homicide, just the murdering of one another, genocide, the murdering of entire people groups and races and nationalities. It's just demonic, isn't it, that any person would want to put an entire race in ovens and burn them because of their race. That's like, how can you conclude anything but that? Well, that's not even human evil. That's demonic, right? And the Bible gives the answer for this type of evil. Our world doesn't have the answer, because our world says we're basically all good and we're all evolving into better. But the Bible says that's not true. The Bible says there is evil, and there's an evil one in this world. And really, when you see something like Hitler, you realize that is just demonic. Yesterday, a brutal dictator, that his life purpose was to annihilate the Jewish people, and if he had the power, annihilate America. Had he been given the power, he would have annihilated 7 million. Even, I'm sure he would have loved to go down in history as the one who killed even more Jewish people than Hitler did. But yesterday, in 30 seconds, 30 bombs were dropped, and 30 leaders of one of the most evil regimes the world has ever seen ended. And I tell you, I felt yesterday like, man, had I been alive when Hitler died, I would have danced. When you read the book of, it's interesting, this part of the world, because the Bible says there's actually this demonic being called the Prince of Persia. That is this incredibly violent demon, like we're reading about these four demons. And back in the days, 2,500 years ago, back in the days of Esther, there was this leader named Haman, and he got it in his heart. He wanted to annihilate all the Jewish people, men, women, and child. Why do you think 2,500 years ago, Satan wanted to murder all the Jewish people? Well, let's see. There was a Messiah coming, the promises through this Jewish people, and Satan was trying to stop it. And because of the Jewish people bringing the Messiah, there's this demonic hatred for these people. Sadly, a hatred that seems to be becoming popular in our day and age, seems to be growing through social media. A hate that just is growing for this race of people. It's demonic. The brutality. Boy, let's be praying for the nation of Iran. I was listening to a man that his family is there, and they were saying that they've been burning mosques and burning the Quran because of this evil regime that has ruled over them. And there's families that have been Muslim for 1,000 years are turning away from Islam. And there, if you could not add to your prayers, I would say add to your prayers a regular prayer for the gospel to spread like wildfire, because the embers are blowing across that nation right now. And let's pray that the kingdom of God will come like it's never come before to Iran. But we see these things. It's a sign of the times. Sorceries is another thing they wouldn't repent of. Occultic practices. The world is going to become a darker and darker place as we are in the last days, that more and more people are drawn to the darkness, not to the light, to the occultic, to the demonic. And the word sorcery is the word pharmakia. It talks about in the last days that drug use will be widespread. People numbing themselves with drugs, dealing with life with drugs, turning to drugs, and they won't repent of it. No matter how great the judgment, I won't let go of my drugs. They won't repent of sexual immorality, which is the word pornea, which you can figure out what English word we get from pornea. That pornography will just be out of control in the last days. And we're living in those times of the signs that pornography is just all for the purpose of harming man, harming marriages, harming families. And men won't repent. And pornea, actually, it's a Greek word that talks about all sexual activity outside of God's design for marriage. And people, they just won't repent. This is my body. I can live the lifestyle I want to live. I don't care how I'm designed. I'm going to live my way. And they won't repent. They won't turn. People that, it's interesting that we read of thefts, they won't repent of their thefts. Man, are we not seeing theft increase like never before? I feel like I get an email every day, your social security number has been stolen. All your information has been compromised. You know, and just day after day, I'm signing up for new more companies that will protect me because everybody's stealing from me. And yet people won't repent of their thefts. And ultimately, Satan is the thief. We'll talk about next week. And so the world will be a place that theft is just everywhere. And then we read it a second time. We'll just finish with it. Two times, they did not repent. So out of everything, the thing that is most emphasized, and then we're going to find that two more times in the most severe bowl judgments. So when the judgment becomes the most severe, that mankind is going to become a place where their hearts are completely and finally hardened against God. And we read of this, I want to read a couple of verses and we're going to take communion this morning. But in Romans 8, it seems right to bring up what we read about mankind. Paul said, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That's a Greek phrase that talks about how man wants to steer his ship against the current of God. I don't want what God has. I want to go this way. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, this is an interesting thing that happens that Paul enlightens us to. That there are actually people that they choose darkness and they choose sin and they choose rebellion to the point where God will finally let them have it. If you don't want my plan, if you want darkness, if you want the occult, if you want sorcery, then I'll give that to you. And God gave them over to a debased mind or a fallen mind. And we're really reading about people in the world that they wrestle with God and refuse to repent. And finally, God just goes, well, if you just want a depraved life, then I'll give it to you. And Paul shows us what that looks like. God gave them over to a debased mind, a fallen mind, to do those things which are not fitting. That is, the body wasn't designed for it. Being filled with all unrighteousness. They're just bent on doing what's not right. Sexually immoral, they're just bent on going against God's design. Wickedness, covetousness or greed, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. This is like a composite picture of someone that said no to God. Envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they're whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. Violent, proud, boasters, they not only do evil, they invent evil things. Disobedient to parents. Right? That's just the heart of God's plan, the heart of family. Children protected, obeying their parents, but this mindset wants nothing to do with the family, nothing to do with parents, nothing to do with order. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. And this is really describes a lot of people in our world who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, they not only do the same, but also approve. Or that Greek word could say they applaud. When people are doing evil, they applaud it. Good for you. Good for you for being the person you want to be and the life you want to live. Who am I to tell you how to live? And each one of us should be able to decide. And who are you to tell others what's right or wrong? Good for you. It's the fallen mind that's hostile to God. And just a few verses, Ezekiel 18, to bring God into the picture. Therefore, I will judge you. This is several chapters in Ezekiel. You really get to hear God. And no doubt this is his heart as we're reading the book of Revelation. I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent. Turn from all your transgressions so that your iniquity will not be your ruin. Don't you realize that the sin I'm telling you not to practice will ruin you? Turn from it. Cast away from you. Cast means you got to let go of your sin. From all the transgression which you've committed and get yourselves a new heart. I want to give you a new heart, a new spirit. For why should you die? Verse 32, for I have no pleasure in the death of the one who dies. Or later in Ezekiel, says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, says the Lord. Therefore, turn and live. And here comes Jesus onto the world scene. What does Jesus' preaching sound like? It sounds like this. The time is fulfilled. All the scriptures have been fulfilled. The Messiah is on the earth. The kingdom of God is at hand, which means it's in your reach. Well, how do I become part of the kingdom of God? There's only one way. You have to repent. You have to be willing to turn from your sin and turn to the Savior Jesus. Gospel means good news. Jesus died to pay for all your sins. That's the only way you can be saved. You have to turn from your sin, turn to Jesus, and you can take hold of the kingdom of God. Acts 3:19, what did the preaching sound like in the book of Acts? Sounded like this. Repent, therefore, and be converted. You've got to turn from your sin. Turn to Jesus. He'll give you a new heart is what converted means. He'll give you a new spirit that your sins may be blotted out. I wonder if this isn't for someone listening today. That if you'll turn to Jesus, your sin, you'll be converted. He'll give you a new heart, a new spirit. All your sins will be blotted out. And you know what happens when your sins are blotted out? This incredible refreshing comes from God. It's so good to be right with the God who created you. And the minute your sins are paid for, it's just the beginning of the rest of eternity. This refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. And then let's have the worship team come back up. And the last verse could talk about someone who's not saved, but it also could be talking about a believer when we talk about repentance. And one of the things we've learned in the book of Revelation is repentance not only saves us, but over the course of our life walking with God, there are regular seasons where God convicts us and we need to turn from things that we've gotten caught up in. And so this could be applying to someone who's not yet saved. It could also be applying to someone who is saved and you're away from the Lord presently. Let's bring it up. It's the last verse, 2 Timothy 2. This is the leaders in the church in humility. They correct those who are in opposition and they're going the wrong way. If God perhaps will grant them repentance. This is such an interesting thing to study that God actually grants people repentance. It's a gift he's giving you that you would repent. He's working something in you that is both a work of God and requires a response on your part to repent so that you may know the truth and that they may come to their senses. Now, that's really what happens when repentance is granted. You come to your senses. Man, this sin is going to ruin me. It's going to destroy me. It's going to destroy my marriage. It's going to destroy my kids. It's going to destroy my life. And you come to your senses and you escape what is the snare of the devil having been taken captive. It's interesting. Some people, they dabble with sin and they think, oh, I can dabble with sin. It's not going to affect me. But it ends up like a bear trap. It ends up snaring them. And how do I get out of that? Repentance. Lord, I don't want sin. I want you. Let's bow our heads. Could we? We're going to take communion in just a minute. And you know, walking with God over a lifetime, whoever we are, we have the same testimony that there are times that we find ourselves in places that we just need to repent. And the opposite of growing hard is that you're tender and you're able to acknowledge the pornography. And you're able to cry out to God to help you escape. You're able to acknowledge that it's sexual sin. It's transgression. I'm crossing the line and going against God's ways. And you're granted repentance. You might be a believer and there might be something that God has got his finger on. He's talking to you about it. It's going to harm you. It's going to ruin you. And God is granting you repentance. And you can cooperate with tenderness and say it, Lord, I repent. Lord, I want to turn. Lord, help me. Help me out, Lord. Help me find the way out. Maybe you're even more trapped than you ever dreamed you could be trapped. But sin can take you where you never thought it could go, and it could keep you longer than you ever thought you'd stay, and it can cost you more than you ever thought you'd pay, and you find yourself there. You're trapped. And just call out to the Lord, Lord, save me. That may be your cry as a believer. Lord, I repent. But it may be that you're someone listening today and you've never come to the place to come into the kingdom of God. You're not presently part of the kingdom of God because Christ isn't your king. But he could become your king right now. You could reach out the hand of faith and turn to Christ. But the only way you can come to Christ is by repenting and believing the gospel. And no one can pray that for you, that, Lord, I'm willing to turn from my sin. And Jesus, I'm turning to you. You died to pay for my sins. I receive that. You died to give me a new heart. If there's repentance in your heart, ask the Lord for that this morning. Say, Lord, give me a new heart. Give me a new spirit. Make me a new creation in Christ. If that's you this morning, if you've never come into the kingdom, you can tell the Lord that. Lord, I repent. He says, I don't want sin. Jesus, I want you. That's a merciful work of God if that's happening in you. If you've never come into the kingdom, God is granting you repentance. And if that's you, just pray that, Holy Spirit, fill me and change me from the inside out. And if this is a saving morning for you, just pray that the last prayer. Just go, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender the reins of my life to you. You may be a believer and we're going to worship. We're going to come to the communion table. And as you come to the communion table, you can just let the Lord know, Lord, I'm repenting. I'm turning from that. I'm turning to you. But before we transition, just while our heads are bowed, if you're someone and there is repentance in your heart in such a way that you're being saved this morning and you turn to Christ to come into the kingdom of God, would you just lift up your hand right where you sit? If you were praying that, if you were asking for that new heart and new spirit, just lift up your hand right where you sit. Say, Pastor Rob, I was praying that. There is repentance in my heart. I am wanting to believe in the good news that Jesus died for me. I want to receive that. I want to make Jesus my king, and I was praying.